The following program has been approved for pro wrestling fans by the creators of the Angle Podcast.
All wrestling fans, clap for the Angle Podcast.
The Angle Podcast.
Angle Podcast.
The Angle Podcast.
The Angle Podcast.
The Angle Podcast.
It's the Angle Podcast. How exciting!
Welcome everyone back to the Angle Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joey Carney. And if you haven't already, please tap the subscribe button down below because, well, we all know it's what everybody wants. It's what everybody needs. This next great chat and also some exciting wrestling content. With me today is the next tag team to take over pro wrestling and comedy, the jack of all trades, David Vox Mullen, and the leader of the head movement, Al Snow. Together, they have a new comedy special airing on June 30th on the Premier Streaming Network. Welcome, you guys. How are you both?
Good. Doing great, Joey. And thank you very much for having us on your show. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Thank you, guys, like I said, for taking the time to do this and talk wrestling, talk comedy, your new stand-up special. But I have to ask, a pro wrestler and a comedian, that kind of sounds like the beginning of a joke. How did you guys meet? How did you guys meet?
I'll let David take this.
Sure.
He'll probably do a better job of explaining it than I can.
Simply put, obviously I'm a comedian, but I'm a pro wrestling fan, have been pretty much all of my life. And just through, amazing opportunities and circumstances, I was able to connect with Al a handful of years ago. And Al heard that I was a comic, and Al had started doing some comedy on his own. And reached out to me and, just wanted my opinion on some of the material he was writing. Al and I probably were on the phone for like 2 hours straight, just riffing and talking about joke structure and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, Al is really funny. I'd always known he was funny. I mean, the stuff you'd seen him do on like WWE and TNA and stuff like that, he's very funny. But as an actual comic, I thought, my God, he's got real joke writing chops, which is something that new comics struggle with for years. And so Al, just being the person that he is, he's already obviously very charismatic and he's a hell of an entertainer. And so I said, man, I'd love to go do this with you. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And then the pandemic hit and then everything shut down. As a comic, I couldn't get any work anywhere. As everybody knows, it was real tough. And so I just kind of assumed it was done. And then after the world kind of opened back up, I was just at an event that Al happened to be at, and we were chatting, and we kind of both jokingly said, "Hey, whatever happened to that, comedy tour idea?" And just the doors were at perfect openings, and we just said, "I think we can make this work." And so we just said, "Let's give it a shot," and we just started booking shows and started getting dates all over the U.S. And it was, a lot of learning as we go, what works, what doesn't work. And that's the beauty of, comedy and as much as, improv that gets into it. And it's been just a ton of fun. Al is arguably one of the funniest guys I know, just in general. I mean, what the audience sees is one thing, but what I get to see, behind the scenes is, Al's just always cracking up and just killing me. And it's just been so much fun to see Al kind of shine in a completely different venue. And he's, not that I'm kissing up to him, but he's fantastic. Just a lot of fun to get to work with.
Yeah. And I was kind of leading into my next question for you, David. When were you introduced to pro wrestling? I mean, being a multi-talented comedian, actor, writer, all these things kind of embody what pro wrestling is. So when were you first introduced?
Oh, gosh. I mean, like anybody in the 80s when I was a little kid, you can't argue seeing Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Andre the Giant and all these guys. And so I was a, huge fan since I was a kid. And then, towards high school, I kind of backed off a little bit. And then later after high school, I kind of just was bored one day at my apartment watching TV, flipping through, and I caught WWE Raw, and just, I was like, hey, I miss watching this stuff. And I just started watching again and got introduced to new characters and new talent. And I've had my foot on the gas ever since and never took it off.
Yeah, and my next question's for Al. You know, Al yeah. Snow, a name synonymous with pro wrestling and comedy, really. How and when did you discover comedy as a tool during your years in pro wrestling?
You know, I never really approached, you know, what I did in wrestling as being comedic. You know, I thought it was just an effort to be entertaining. And, you know, everybody goes, oh, I was a comedic wrestler. And really, I wasn't. The character was that I was insane. And what was funny, or what I like to call dark humor, was, you know, you laughing at the fact that I had an altered view of reality and was willing and capable of just doing about anything that made sense for me because the character was insane. You know, yeah. I had lost touch with reality. So it put me in a lot of funny circumstances, entertaining, you know, situations that, and my reactions, of course, were suited to the character, but they came across as comedic.
And when did you start noticing the crowd reaction, feeling more that it was, for you, it was more of a serious role, but for the fans, they started finding a comedic sense to it. When did you start realizing that, hey, maybe there's something here going that way?
Right out of the gate. And really, it's not so much when you're developing a, let's say, a persona, or we call it in the wrestling business a gimmick. It's twofold. One is for the performer, it's actually who that person is, just with the volume turned way up. So I have a tendency, I'm sure David can agree with this. I have a tendency to be a little sarcastic, and, you know, I can be sardonic and, you know, a smart ass. And at the time when I started doing the head, it was a vehicle or an avenue for me to, I had a lot of frustration, you know, professionally, that it came a way to vent that. And for the audience, it gave them a character, a persona that they could now relate to and could describe and could believe in. And, you know, you could turn to your friends and go, hey, there's this guy, he talks to Ed, he's completely insane. And in a sentence or less, you knew who I was, what I was about, and why you wanted to watch me. And that's one of the probably most important aspects of entertainment in general, not just wrestling, but entertainment in general is, you know, the development of that, who you really are on stage, you know. And that's one of the things I think that's kind of has a similarity with wrestling and comedy is that when you're out there on stage, you have to be completely honest. You have to be who you really are. You can't put on a costume, and because the audience will know it, they'll feel it. They won't believe in you, so they're not going to believe in what you're saying. And the same goes with wrestling. If they don't believe in you, they're not going to believe in what you're doing or why you're doing it.
Yeah, I'll even tag in here. I mean, when I first started out in comedy, and I've been doing it for over 10 years now, but when I first started out in comedy, I was writing jokes that weren't necessarily from me. You know what I mean? They weren't true to my life. Yeah. And it wasn't until I started writing from a place of honesty, you know, my real experiences, my real family stuff, my real, you know, one of the big things I talk about is I'm diabetic. And so I started talking about diabetes in my act, and all of a sudden it just got easier because, oh yeah, I'm being honest. I'm telling the truth, and there is humor in reality. And so it definitely, I mean, granted, as a comedian, I do say things that aren't real, you know, like if I say that I, you know, went somewhere and I shot somebody. No, I didn't really shoot somebody. But it's, you know, it's the joke. But yeah. But I still come from a place of honesty. And it, like, much like Al saying, it's, you know, just with the volume turned up. And that's, it's really, as Al said, you know, the audience can sniff it out instantly if you're yeah. not being authentic. And you know, at that point, you should just go home.
and kind of to go more in depth on that, I completely understand what you guys are talking about, because we can see today, you know, with advancements of technology and really the rise of social media, authenticity is key to everything. You can, fans, you know, people just on social media or watching content, they can see very, very clearly, you know, what's authentic and what's not. So what you both to both of your points, I mean, I agree 100% with being authentic, and it really does elevate you to a different level, really.
Sure. Yeah, it's the key to success. You know, it's the key to make you either just a performer or a star.
Yeah.
You know, being a star is somebody that they can believe in, that they really feel, and that they know who that person really is.
Yeah, and pro wrestling and comedy, like we've been talking about, are both storytelling and similar in a lot of ways. What did you both see as the core idea of creating this comedy special?
I'll let Dave handle that because
it kind of fell into our laps, really. I mean, Al and I, our main focus initially was just do these shows, just get the shows. And it's, you know, one of the things that Al likes to talk about personally, I don't know how much he does it professionally, but he likes to talk about, you know, creating stories, getting experiences and things like that. And so in the beginning, it really was just, let's just have these amazing experiences. We'll go to these different cities. We'll get to perform for strangers and try out, you know, these funny things and these jokes. And like I said, Al's got just hilarious material. And, you know, it's been almost a year. It'll be a year this fall, but like, just from all the shows we've done, when I look back over the arc of what we've done, it just keeps getting better and better, and we're just having more fun, and it gets easier to do, and it's less stressful, and it's just one of those things that it's just great experiences. But so we came back through my hometown of Chicago, and we got an opportunity to just film it, and so we filmed one of the shows. And what's interesting, and I want to point this out, so if anybody wants to come see us live, should definitely do so. And even if you see our special, which airs this Friday on Premiere Streaming, every show is different. Al will attest. I mean, every show we talk about different stuff, because Al and I both have a very improvised style of comedy. So we kind of base everything on just how we feel in the moment.
Yeah.
So every show has always been different. And so we just did a snapshot of just one of them. And so that's what this special is. And we're very excited to, you know, have that available for the public to see. And we hope that the people who see it get jazzed up and want to come see us live and see how we do it in their town, you know, and that's what it's really all about.
Yeah. And tying these worlds together, you know, comedy and pro wrestling, were there any obstacles that came across both of you in coming up or planning the special, any obstacles with maybe just the material or outside stuff?
I didn't want to get hit in the face. That was my
thing. I don't think so. I don't think we've really encountered any kind of real challenges. You know, things have just kind of flowed and just kind of happened, and we've just kind of went along with it. And you know, to Dave's point, it keeps developing, and yeah, we, you know, every show is different from the show prior, because really just don't know, you know, you're kind of living in the moment and in the mood and the energy of the room, and you just kind of, you know, figure it out as you go. The same, like, it pretty much is the same as like pro wrestling. I mean, you know, you could wrestle the same guy every night for a month straight, and you know, it's going to change every night. Something is going to change because of the energy of the audience, you know, what they were into last night, they may not be into tonight, or they may be into it even more. You gauge everything off of the audience itself. And that's probably, you know, I do a lot, I've been doing quite a bit of acting. It's nice. I enjoy it, but it's nothing in comparison to being in front of a live audience, you know, with no safety net and no chance to, you know, save yourself if you're drowning, whether it's wrestling or comedy, because you get that instant reaction, that instant feedback. You get to feel and interact with your audience and be able to, you know, take them on a ride and entertain them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, as producers and writers of what we're doing, you know, what we're always hoping for is more and more laughter, right? That's, you know, if you're wrestling, you want the, you know, audible reaction from the audience. We want the same thing in comedy. We want that laughter. That's how we gauge, okay, this joke is working, this joke is not working.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, the struggles that comedians face, and of course it's interesting, you know, having Al in this world now, is, you know, hecklers, right? That's the bad thing, right? We don't want people, you know, in wrestling, heckling is great, right? You want the audience to boo you, or to,
yeah,
you know, or to be angry at you. But in comedy, it's a whole different thing, right? That's like, as you know, as somebody who does comedy, I'm ready for a verbal fight, right? Like I am ready for a verbal assault on somebody who wants to kind of derail what we're trying to set up for them. But the irony is I've gotten a few heckles throughout the show. Cause I usually, when the show usually starts off, I come up and do a little bit of time and then Al comes up with me, but nobody heckles Al. They're terrified. And I think that's awesome because it's like, you know, he's Al, like who's going to mess with Al.
I actually
enjoy being heckled.
That's the secret.
You know, it's like back, you know, the wrestling thing, and you know, the fans want to interact and react, and I just play off of them. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I kind of like, oh, okay, this is the way it's going to go. Then the show's going to become about this.
And that's a testament to Al's improv ability. I mean, it really is great. In fact, I will say that we did a show in the middle of nowhere, and we had, it was a very different show, but like, it was like, there was like a birthday party and like these people were just so like drunk and rowdy. And I looked at Al and he looked at me and it was just like, okay, we're going to do this so different. And we just did it completely different. And we just worked the room for like 2 hours and it was so much fun. And it was just, And not every show is like that. It's just, everything is different, but I'll tell you what, man, and I can't think of anybody better to go into battle with than Al. I mean, he is so quick-witted, and the sarcasm that he mentioned is there. And I think he and I play off of each other really well, and it's just a lot of fun to just goof around, really, and no one has to get hit.
Yeah, I think the best part is that David, you get to say whatever you want, because you know Al's going to save you from whatever happens.
I've even joked about that on stage. Like, you can heck me all you want, but Al's going to beat the shit out of you.
I love it.
Truth be told, I don't know if he really would back me up. I don't know.
I think he would. He's David, your tag team partner in wrestling. That's a bond you can't break. I mean,
right. I think David would probably be more likely to save me. So.
You know, but outside of wrestling, a lot of performers who either later on retire or even during their time, they try to find other outlets to entertain. Some do comedy, some go into acting. But this is really the first, comedy special to be on the Premier Streaming Network. But before you both decided to do a special, were there any thoughts of, I know Al, you actually both mentioned you like being in front of the live crowd. Was there any ideas of maybe doing a podcast or something other than a comedy special?
A podcast would be interesting to do, and I'm open, you know, to doing something like that. But let's face it, I mean, especially when in the genre of wrestling, there are how many different podcasts, you know what I mean? And really, I think we can all agree. I think Conrad Thompson has really cornered the market on that, because he's got so many different, the typical podcast was, hey, let's bring on like Joe Rogan. You bring on a guest or like this format, which they're good. They're enjoyable. And, you know, and then you've got like the wrestling podcast. You have like the Cornettes, who pretty much they do their commentary. They do their critiques of the wrestling business or a particular organization weekly. And then,
Idiots are giving away the business.
Then you've got Conrad's approach, which is he's got individual unique personalities that, you know, which started with Bruce Pritchard telling old WWF behind the scenes stories. And then it's branched out to Eric Bischoff and, you know, Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley and them telling their experiences and their memories of a particular moment in time from their perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be tough to, I think, and not that it's not possible to do it, but I think it would be a bit of a challenge to try to come up with yet another unique approach, you know, and then not be more of the same.
Yeah. And speaking as a fan and a consumer of the product, in the early 2000s, it was so rare to be able to get the behind the scenes. So when people were doing it, you'd gobble that up, you know? Exactly. Whether it was books or interviews or just when they peel back the curtain. But, you know, now in 2023, like Al's saying, it's just so much that even as a fan, I can't consume it all. And I don't really have the desire to consume it all because if I go to YouTube, I can hear, you know, Al Snow talk about what it was like being a wrestler, or I could hear anybody. So I think oversaturation is the problem, you know.
Yeah.
That being said, shows like, say, the Angle podcast are, you know, second to none. But no, I think, and this just goes back to what Al says, and I can't speak for Al, but being somebody who's is a performer and entertainer, I mean, I've done music, I've done movies, I've done, you know, sketch, I've done TV. Yeah, being in front of a live audience. That's why so many famous like actors still go back and do Broadway.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're only 200, 300 people are going to see them, but it's that you want that, you know. There's nothing that beats the live performance aspect of what he does as a wrestler, what I do as a comedian, or what anybody does.
Yeah.
Acting in films, you know, like I just finished up a Supernatural Western, you know, and nothing big or fancy or anything, but you don't get that immediate response from the audience, and you don't get to discern what kind of a job you did until sometimes a year, maybe 2 years later, once they've finished and completed all of the post-production and they finally do release the film and you see it all put together and you get to see whether or not you really did play the character and told the story the way the writer envisioned, where with wrestling or comedy, you get that immediate gratification and satisfaction that you've connected with an audience and you've got them to, you know, be entertained.
Yeah. And I think that helps you get better as a performer because you have instant feedback. Like Al says, you're always trying new things. So you try a joke out, and if you get a laugh, good, that's good. You know, that we'll keep that in. If you do a joke that doesn't get a laugh, well, maybe it's, you know, not good. We'll see if it doesn't get a laugh in the next town or the next town or whatever. Yeah.
And a lot of the fans claim, you know, the best era of pro wrestling is the Attitude Era, an era where Al, you really made a name for yourself and became the Al Snow that everybody, you know, knows and loves today. Mm-hmm. Many of those years were made by a team effort just because the competition level was so high. Was it difficult to come up with a unique character when everyone is kind of striving to be unique in a sense?
Well, I think that's the that's the one challenge for any wrestler in any era is, you know, is to be able to go out there in the ring, because that's the dichotomy of wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that no one's bigger than the business. So you can't be the main event without the opening match. You can't, you know, you can't win if somebody's not willing to lose. You know, you can't be a star without someone helping you be a star. But at the same time, they want to be a star as well. You can't be unique unless you've determined what it is about you and who you really are that you can turn the volume up on. And that takes sometimes for some people, they, you know, they walk in that ring and they hit right on it. You know what I mean? They just, it clicks. And then there are other people that it takes years for them to figure it out to where they literally make themselves into the attraction that they could have always been. You know, they could have all the skills, the tools, the height, the charisma, but if they don't have that definable, believable persona, you know, I mean, look at Mark Calaway. How many years Mark Calaway, you know, the Undertaker was in wrestling and he didn't really make a dent. He didn't, you know, he was not terrible or anything by any means, but it wasn't until he and Vince got together and the Undertaker was born that now that's what made him a legend, you know, and that takes, and that much the same way with comedy, it's going to take a lot of trial and error and, you know, and figuring out what it is, what aspect of your personality do you really turn up on stage that an audience can relate to? You know, and that goes from your personality to your material to everything, you know, and then you through experience learn what to say, when to say it, so that you get what reaction you want, and it continues to build throughout the show. So, you know, and it's a blast to go out there and, you know, and experiment and get that experience. But it's in the wrestling business, that is a very, it's a very much a necessity, and it is very much a difficult challenge. That's the one thing that will hold anyone back. And it's the one thing that will open up the doors to, you know, tremendous opportunities is the, you know, as if they find that one definable piece of their personality.
Absolutely. And David, I know you're a huge fan of wrestling entrance themes. Is there one that stands out to you most outside of Al's iconic theme?
Right. I mean, honestly, you can't argue with, you know, the glass breaking. I mean, when that glass would break, everybody would explode.
Yeah. I think you got to be honest, though. I think one of the greatest entrance musics and entrances has got to belong to Gangrel and the Brood.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, that is such a badass song.
Haunting.
And
then
up in the fire, you know what I mean? They're all standing there. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
I mean, they're all great. Like I said, I love them. And I love that you said that, which means now I know you saw the clip. I love them all. But, you know, there's just certain aspects that when something hits, you know, back when it was, you know, in the 80s, I mean, Hulk Hogan's, you know, theme or Ultimate Warrior's theme would play. I mean, people would, you know, my favorite thing about being a fan is watching how, you know, if someone was in the ring cutting a promo, how they would react.
Yep.
To the entrance of someone else, you know, how they get interrupted or, oh my gosh, it's great. You know, whether it's The Rock or Jericho or, you know, any of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. To me, it's a big piece of what I feel is like missing today in wrestling, where a lot of the entrances are more generic, more produced by the same artist. And it just flows all into each other. It's very, very.
I think that's because the wrestlers themselves are more generic and not so definable.
Yes.
And as a result, an offshoot of that lack of definition of definability translates into the music. You know what I mean? You know, like we were talking about, Undertaker's music fits Undertaker. You know what I mean? Yeah. When, you know, Steve Austin's music fit Steve Austin. And you knew because you could describe Steve Austin. So I think for a musician creating entrance music, if you don't give them a definable, they go, oh, I get exactly who this guy is. Well, you're not going to get that music, you know.
Yeah. Of course. So. And pro wrestling today is really filled with so much comedy. We see, you know, an Impact. They have Santino Marella doing his thing. In WWE, we see Chad Gable and Otis doing some great things. The Acclaimed in AEW. Is comedy in wrestling today something that you're a fan of? And is there something maybe you'd want to see differently added to that?
I think comedy's always been utilized in wrestling. Wrestling is, at its best, is a three-ring circus. And what I mean by that is that there's always something for everyone. You know, and I think even more importantly today, and I think you can kind of see this also in some of the bigger budget movies, action movies and things like that, you know, that there's a little bit of, you know, even back in the day, Arnold Schwarzenegger had those little key lines, like, you know, when Commando and the bad guy is going, oh, I thought you said you were going to kill me, you know, weren't going to kill me. I just said I was going to kill you last, you know.
And don't bother my friend. He's dead tired.
Yeah, he's dead tired. I think it, even in horror films, you'll see where they'll use comedy to kind of lighten the mood to and make it more entertaining, you know, and then accentuate the real goal that they're trying to do of horror or action and wrestling the same way. You know, you've now, you know, especially these days, because it costs so much to buy a ticket to one of the major events.
Yeah.
You know, from the opening match to the bell of the main event ending, you better have something for everyone, and everyone that walks through that curtain better mean something to some degree to everyone in that building, or they're not going to feel like they got their money. You know what I mean? The days of, oh, they're only showing up just to see the main event. I think that's a bygone era. I think they are showing up and they're going to sit there for 2.5 hours. They want to have a great time for 2.5 hours, and they want to laugh. They want to get scared. They want to cry. They want to get excited. They want to get angry. All, you know, and the biggest thing they want to do is they just want to forget. You know, we were talking about the podcast thing, and I hold a very big, I'm fine with acknowledging and being open to a degree about anything, about comedy, about, you know, wrestling, about acting. Yeah. But I think when you pull the curtain back so far, what you do is you create a familiarity with your audience that now ultimately leads to contempt. And, you know, and it's no longer as much fun as it used to be, because we've given you so much access to so much information without any actual experience yep. with that information to have any real knowledge or understanding of what's taking place. And there's got to be a line where you can give enough behind the scenes, pulling the curtain back, that people can gain a more of an appreciation for what you're doing. And then you get to the point of the Wizard of Oz, where all the magic, all of the wonder that in Oz went away the second the curtains got pulled back, and there's a little old man spinning wheels and pulling levers and pushing buttons. Now,
yeah,
it's like, well, now it's not magical anymore. It's not fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I mean, again, being a fan who thought, I mean, I've been watching wrestling for over 35 years, right? I thought I knew everything. Like, I did. I thought I knew how they put the shows together and all that. And then when Al and I were doing California, we were driving from a show in San Diego to a show in LA, and we just had time. We were talking, and he was kind of explaining to me how, you know, booking actually works. And what you're actually thinking about. And I always assumed I understood it. I maybe understood 8% the thought process of booking, you know, shows.
Yeah.
And when Al was explaining to me, not only did it make perfect sense, but it was like, oh my gosh, like it's phenomenal. And I'll be honest, you know, like I'm a fan of magic. I love magic. I think, you know, once I have a good friend who's a very important magician in the magic community. He's in the, you know, Magic Castle, you know, commune or whatever. But he explained to me, look, you know, if you are told too much, the magic's gone. Yeah. And the beauty, and it's gone. And I don't, you know, I don't want that ever to go away. Right. So as much as I love some of the curtain being pulled back, I don't want it all the way pulled back. I really don't, because yeah. it will change how special it is for me to just enjoy it.
Yep.
And I really do enjoy it. So I will tell you, I very rarely ask too much, you know, about, you know, how does this get done? And why are you doing this? And what's the thinking here? No, I mean, sure. Every once in a while, you know, I'll ask a few things, but for the most part, I don't want to know. I really enjoy the surprises, there is an unspoken agreement that we all enter into
yep.
in society. And that's I'm going to spend my money to, you know, watch this pay-per-view or go to this live event or even come to this comedy show or go to this, you know, Broadway musical. Yeah. And that's I am going to suspend my logic and I just want to be taken on an adventure. It's the same agreement that you enter into when you go into a movie theater. And yeah. so that part to me is so special. And I think not to argue against authenticity, because that's important, yeah. but I think there is something so special about, let's not dig too deep. Let's just enjoy the story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll never forget realizing, you know, in my life, oh, I could sit down in front of any movie. And if I'm open to it, I don't care if it's a certain genre I like or don't like or whatever. Yeah. Just sit down, you know, give me in the beginning and take me to the end and let's see, you know, if I enjoyed that journey. And 90% of the time, I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I'll wrap up with this last question here. Okay. Being that your special features you both as a tag team, mm-hmm. if you both were to get in the ring today and perform as a tag team, are there two guys you'd both want to face and defeat?
Oh, anybody that would be easy enough to do it, and then the ones that would pay me the most to have it happen.
I would argue any wrestler or any, you know, previous wrestler who is currently promoting that they do comedy, I would love to see them find another comic of their choosing and go toe to toe with Al and I think we'll mop the floor with them.
I love that idea. I love that idea. For all the fans listening and watching right now, where can they find you guys and find more about what you're doing?
Well, I think right now the biggest thing to do is to go to that Premiere Streaming Network and get that special, which airs Friday, June 30th. You can order it as a pay-per-view, or I think it comes included with the Premiere Plus membership. So definitely grab that. And honestly, you know, just following us on social media is the key. Al and I are constantly posting stuff. I've got a website, davidvoxmullen.com, where I put all of the stuff with Al on there. So if you want to find Al and I, that's where you go. And yeah, we're going to hopefully come to a city near you, and we'll make you laugh.
And social media wise, I'm just at The Real Al Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everything.
Easy enough. An aspect about life that I like to, I find to be important is giving flowers while we still can. And I'm so appreciative both of your time today, and Al, for what you've been able to do for pro wrestling over the years and what you still continue to do. It's not really about the things that you do or your accomplishments, but it's about the way you make people feel. And Al Snow, you brought so much joy to wrestling fans throughout the years. Without people like you, pro wrestling is definitely not where it is today. So thank you both for your time.
Thank you, Joey.
Everyone listening and watching, don't forget to watch the Al Snow Tag Team Comedy featuring David Vox Mullen. Will be available on the Premiere Streaming Network this Friday, June 30th, like I said, on the Premiere Streaming Network.
Thank you again, Joey.
Thanks again for having us.
And before you go, please subscribe to binge more content right here on the Angle Podcast. Thanks for watching.